All right, welcome to the Leafs Plus podcast. It is September 5th, 2018, and we're going to get started here. First topic is going to be on the Nylander contract. He's still not signed. Are you guys worried? Because I'm not. It's, what, 2 weeks till training camp?
And... I'm terrified. No.
Well, like, to speak your part, like, why aren't you terrified?
Because it's Kyle Dubas. You got John Tavares. Why am I going to be scared? Nylander's nothing, you know. He's whatever. Some pleb. Who needs him?
You know we're recording, right?
He's a bottom six commander. Oh, I'm aware. I'm aware that we're recording.
All right, good start.
He's just a bottom six.
Okay, well, I'm concerned, although I'm actually kind of happy about it. I think it's positive news for Leaf fans, because I think it's going to get to a point where Nylander's going to start getting pressured by his own teammates, you know, if it comes up real close to training camp and they're making plans on showing up for day one and Nylander's, you know, kind of sitting back saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to be there, guys. You know, I don't think he's going to want that. I don't think that's a good start. I think that hurts their camaraderie. If I was Nylander, that would make me uncomfortable and probably more likely to cave in to whatever Dubas is trying to push me to sign.
Okay, so being 22 or 21, whatever he is, do you guys think that he's trying to get that big paycheck, even though Tavares left money on the table, so to speak? Or do you think he's not happy with the bridge deal that he might be getting? Like, why do you think they're being held up?
Mike Augello asked him back at that ping pong tournament about a month ago.
Smash Fest.
What kind of contract he was looking for. And he said he wanted a long-term contract. So he wants 7-8 years. And I guess 5 and 6 would also constitute as long, but I'm sure he meant 7 or 8. But I wouldn't be surprised if Dubas was pushing pretty hard on bringing down that salary if Nylander was going to get that long-term consistency in the contract. I think Nylander is going to be looking for more than Pastrnak, more years, more price, and I don't think Dubas is going to be anywhere close to that.
I think another thing with Nylander is, while he's still asking for like that long-term contract, it could be that Dubas is pushing like a 2-year deal just so that Nylander needs a new contract when Marlowe's expires. So from the money from Marlowe's $6.25 million, you can take that money and give it directly to Nylander. And that way you're re-signing all of them and you don't have to worry about it.
So why wouldn't you wait until Marner maybe and be like, hey, Mitch, we know you're going to be great. You're playing with John Tavares. Why don't you take your 1-year contract next year for $4 million, $5 million, and when Marlowe's money comes off the books, we can bump you up to 8, 9, 10, depending on where you're at.
Well, I don't think it's going to be 10. Let's just get that out of the way.
If he's,
but it could go either way. It could be give it to Nylander, give it to Marner, give it to both. I think the only one that's really secured for that 8 years is going to be Matthews. But, I mean, it can go either way, necessarily.
That's assuming he's willing to take the 8 years and maybe not duck out at 7.
No, I think he's good at 8.
If Dubas doesn't get Marner signed before the end of this season, which I don't think he will,
him or Matthews. Both are...
I don't think either one of them will sign coming into the season. I think Marner will wait until the end of the season. Matthews is a guy that might sign partway through the season. Probably right after he potentially takes the C. But... that might go to Tavares, but go back to Marner, he really could put up numbers that would warrant a $9, $10 million player. I mean, he was at 61 points last season, but in the first 30 or so games, he had, what, like 3 goals? He was atrocious. He didn't deserve to be the NHL. He deserved to be back in the OHL in the first third of last season. So if he plays with Tavares and continues where he left off in the second half of last season and into the playoffs, I mean, that 61 points very quickly becomes 80-plus points for a Marner playing with Tavares.
Yeah, especially, like, look at him on the power play. He was running that first power play unit with JVR, Bozak, and whoever else. If you put him, let's say, with Matthews and Tavares, or and whoever on defense, right? You have three viable options to score, which will drive up all of their prices, so to speak. Matthews, yeah, he's going to get over 10, no problem. Marner, if I were Babcock, I would maybe like shelter, not throw him on the fourth line with Josh Juris and Par Lindholm. Don't shelter him like that, like you did last year with him and Nylander, but kind of just maybe don't put out the first power play unit first, and then give Marner less opportunities to succeed, as bad as that sounds. Like, I want to see the best lead team there is, but I also want to look towards the future. And if that means Marner's putting up 80, 90, 100 points, and it's going to cost us 8, 9, 10 million next year or whenever, I don't think that's best for the team. I believe he's on the same side as Tavares, where he's going to ask or get asked to leave money on the table because Tavares did it. Matthews might do it, in quotes. Nylander, based on all of the mainstream media I'm hearing, he's a European and his dad is his agent, and he's going to ask for the sun and the moon. Honestly, I feel like Nylander's a good kid. I feel like he might be able to bring it down a notch to a reasonable deal. Honestly, I think, is he even in Canada? Maybe that's why he hasn't signed it yet. He's not here, and Dubas is like, yeah, just sign it when you get back.
Well, I think we've seen Babcock shelter people before, right before he signed their contract. Take Morgan Riley, for example. He didn't see any offensive time whatsoever until he signed that long-term contract under Lou a couple years back, and then he started seeing power play time. Then he started seeing some more starts in the O zone. But I don't think that Babcock's going to be able to reel Marner in at all. I think that he might be able to do with Matthews, though. I mean, until Matthews signs an extension, I would be surprised to see him on the number one power play unit. He wasn't on it last year. With the guy like Tavares coming in, I'm sure you could make the argument to just to leave a Tavares and a Marner and say a Morgan Riley and a couple ancillary guys to fill out the top power play unit and leave Matthews for the second PP, and that's really going to hurt his total points, although I'm sure it'll still be a ton. But I wouldn't put past Babcock to limit Matthews for one more season, or at least for a half a season, until Matthews resigns. But when it comes to Marner, I don't think there's much you can do with him, keeping him subdued at all. I don't know where you do it, I don't know how you do it, and I think no matter what, Marner's going to come in and look for a ton of money, because that's, from what I hear, that's just what, he's very heavily influenced by his family. His family controls a lot of his decision making, and well, it was just touched on how Nylander's father is basically his proxy agent. I don't think enough is, or much is, reported, maybe fairly, but it's none of our business. But I don't think that we really understand how much of a Marner's family really has to do with Marner's decisions. And I know they're going to want to be able to brag about their son signing a really, really large contract.
Two things to touch on. Wouldn't you think they'd rather brag about Stanley Cup rings?
Yeah, I don't feel like Marner is your worry for a contract. He's the hometown kid out of the three. He's going to want to bring the Stanley Cup back to Toronto. The only one that I would really be worried about is Nylander. That's the only one to truly worry about. Matthews, give him whatever he wants. That's your franchise player. Marner is in... I have no worries. He's going to be perfectly fine. I feel like if the Leafs ask him to take a pay cut, he'll take it. And then going back to Matthews and trying to keep him off the power play, he only had 5 power play goals last season. And the season prior, he only had 9 in a full 82 games. He doesn't get his points or his goals from power play. He leads his point totals with 5-on-5. In 2016-17, didn't he lead the entire NHL in 5v5 goals? And I'm pretty sure he was like one of the top 10 in 5v5 goals last season with missing like 20 games.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's top in the lead for the past two seasons,
He's number one or number two. Pretty sure he was on the second power play unit.
Isn't he tied with like McDavid for number one over like the last two seasons or something like that? So taking him off the power play, I don't think he's even worried about that. That's not where he gets his goal totals or even his point totals from. He's proven what he's capable of on like playing full strength. There's no reason to take him off of the power play just because you're worried about him getting too much money.
Well, I'm not saying take him off the power play. I'm just saying keep him on the second power play unit.
Yeah, but he's already on the second power play unit. You're not going to increase anything. You're not going to decrease anything. You're just going to keep things how they are.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's what I'm saying. You're going to shelter him a little bit more until he has a contract signed. Because if you don't, if you put him on the first power play, if you give him 22 minutes a night, the guys could score 100 points. Then what are you going to do? Say, oh, no, here's $10.5 million less than what Tavares got, and he's post 77 points this year. He's going to go, you know what he's going to go say.
Now, my second point, you brought up how we sheltered Morgan Riley before his contract. In turn, that earned Nikita Zaitsev a $4.5 million deal because he was taking those first-line power play minutes and got himself a $4.5 million cap hit.
I think wasn't Riley signed before that season even happened?
It was 17-18 when Zaitsev's contract hit. And give me a second here.
Well, Zaitsev started 16-17. I think Riley was signed in like 14-15 or something like that.
Not the original. Not the $4 million he's on now.
Because it was...
He's on five?
Five, no, for 6 years. That's what his contract was. And it expires in 2020. So he got it after the 15-16 season.
Correct, yes.
Which means it was a season prior to Zaitsev coming.
But it was still... Zaitsev was on the power play that whole first season of Riley's contract.
Yeah, but that was just because Babcock was trying to get him to play a more defensive game.
I mean, you make a good point, but I mean that was also under Lamoriello. Now Lamoriello's gone, and we can't be afraid of Dubas making a stupid signing like Lamoriello did with Zaitsev. Now I hope it turns out to be a great signing, and that was just a one subpar year for Zaitsev. But as it sits right now, it looks to be more of an anchor than anything good.
But what I'm trying to say is if they try sheltering Marner or Matthews or whoever, and I use the word sheltering very liberally here, would that affect maybe someone else boosting up their value?
Yeah, I mean, you might boost up, who?
Johnson, Kapanen,
Brown.
Okay, say, Brown's already signed, so let's say Kapanen. But you're only going to boost Kapanen $1 million, $1.5 million maybe. He's still going to be relatively low. He's not going to go score 82 points in 82 games. I mean, you might boost him up $1 million, $1.5 million, but if Marner, that could be the difference between $6 million or $9 million or $6.5 and $10 million. I mean, it could be, you know, instead of $1 or $1.5 million, it could be $2, $2.5, $3 million difference. You're saving money.
I think a problem with that, though, is Marner is one of your key contributors. You can't take him out. Take him out, but you can't lure it. Like, that's one of your key... Yeah, that's one of your key contributors. Like, you're trying to have the best team possible. By doing that, you're limiting your chances of being the best team in the NHL. Now, sure, you can do that during the regular season and just kind of get into the playoffs and then start playing Marner more. But, what's the point in that? He now shows, when you're giving me time, look what I can do.
I agree. I don't think we're going to be able to limit Marner at all. Just maybe Matthews... for the time being, in a limited way.
But again, that's another key contributor.
Limit him last year. I mean, there's a reason Matthews was pissed off and Babcock had to fly down to Arizona. And
we don't know the full story there. Like,
no, but it's understood that Babcock flew to Arizona under the disguise of looking for real estate and then just happened to drop by Matthews' place.
I mean, if you're just going to Arizona...
To have a conversation. Sure, it was blown out of proportion, I'm sure, but I think it's pretty widely understood that Matthews was not happy. Babcock wanted to check in and have a cooling conversation between the two. still didn't seem to go all that great. But Matthews was not happy. I mean, even before that story came, even during the playoffs, in the first round there were started to be rumblings about how Matthews was getting a little ticked off. So even last season, even in the playoffs, Babcock was holding Matthews back a bit, and I think he could do it again, at least for the first half of the season.
Well, couldn't that be another problem then? Because now, why was it Matthews is going to be ticked off this entire season because he's being limited to a role that he knows he's capable of more?
Could be a negotiating ploy. I mean, sign a contract before the end of the season, sign 8 years, and you can play as much as you want. They'll never say it that black and white, but I mean, business is business. I mean, even Babcock, as much as he wants to win every single game, he knows that best to play the long-term game.
Because, like, we had Martin and Komarov in there until the playoffs, and then, oh no, they got a Frankie Corrado syndrome up in the press box.
Maybe that's adding to it even more. Maybe he knew that they were always going to make the playoffs, and so when it was playoff time, he played his best players. Had he played Janssen and Kapanen, you know, throughout the whole season, maybe they have to demand a lot more than they are right now.
Now, if we remember the Marleau, Kadri, Marner line, which lit up in, what, February? March? That wasn't a line before then. They threw them together in February, March, whenever it was, and then they took off. How do you think maybe this is going to play into Babcock's four-dimensional chess with Dubas to kind of make good lines, but then keep the great lines apart until they're needed?
I don't even know. You know that Matthews and Nylander are going to be together. Babcock has already said that Tavares and Marner are going to be together. Like, how are you going to limit that now? You've already said what you're going to be doing. The only way to limit that is if you're going to start playing Kapanen fourth line instead of on the third line with Kadri.
Yeah, but it could be a couple different things. Do we know Hyman's going to be in the first line again? Do we know Marlowe's going to be on the second line with...
Babcock said
Marlowe's going to be on the first line with, or whatever line Matthews is on, and Hyman's going to be on the line with Tavares.
Yes. We already know
that. Okay, but again, he said that. It could change game two. It could change
second. I think if the team is clicking and they're doing good, I don't see any reason why Babcock would do it. And if he does, everybody knows why. You're not hiding anything by doing that.
Did we not win the first game of last season 7-2 or something against Winnipeg?
Yep.
Why don't we just run with those lines? Because Winnipeg...
Didn't we keep those lines?
For a little bit, but then started slowing down, right?
Yeah, the team started slowing down.
But it wasn't the Markov-Marner line. I feel like Babcock's saying this just so we have something to talk about. And he might change it 2 minutes into the game.
Well, he did say... season before, whatever it was, when we signed Ron Hainsey, that as soon as he was signed, that he would play with Morgan Rielly. And he's only played with Morgan Rielly.
But we can look at it that there's 6 defensemen and 12 forwards. So there's a lot more combinations you can do on forwards, whereas defensemen, especially with Babcock wanting to line match the defensemen and the forwards, he's kind of more strict or limited on the defense side.
I feel like Babcock's just like the players. He wants to win. That's the statement right there. Everybody on that team wants to win. As much as, yes, you can save $1 million or $2 million, if that comes at the cost of you guys winning a game, I don't think he'll do it. I don't see any reason why he'll do it.
Now, speaking of the Leafs' depth forward, kind of, just we were talking about the fourth line and all that. Now, the Leafs signed a couple of guys to entry-level contracts at the $625, $925, whatever it may be. That includes Jordan Subban. That includes Josh Joris, I believe, is another guy. We got...
Tyler Ennis.
Tyler Ennis.
Carl Lindholm,
it's a little bit earlier, but yeah, I see that. He's at 925 there.
Didn't Justin Hall take that deal as well?
Yeah, Justin Hall, 675 for 2 years. So we got him for this year and next.
I think he's going to be one of either Borgman or Rosen this year. He's going to... it's probably going to be between Carrick and Hall at the beginning of the season, going back and forth. You know, one plays one game, one plays the other, and they're going to battle it out to see who Babcock trusts more. And then eventually it's going to be a... maybe Borgman's a bad example because Borgman didn't last, but at least he played, you know, at least a third of the season.
And no, he played 40-something games.
Borgman?
Played 40-something? So he played half the
he
season?
He played 48 games last year.
Oh, I thought it was like 33. No,
no he,
I thought it was even less than that.
I don't remember all those games.
I don't remember Borgman playing 48 games.
I honestly...
Talk about sheltered minutes, though.
Yeah, like...
Not just...
Well, when you're out with Roman Polak, there's only so many minutes you can play.
Yeah,
right?
Roman Polak was way better last year than I thought he would be.
I mean,
when the bar is at the floor, it's hard to not go under it, right?
Yeah, I'm not a Roman Polak.
Yeah, fair enough. The bar was pretty low.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I thought he did well. I thought he played a good role.
He did well for what was expected of him because people expected nothing from him. I mean, he couldn't do anything wrong because people expected that of him already. He hit players. He blocked shots. And he got the puck out. That's all he really did.
Okay, but let's bring it back to kind of the signings that we did. So there's Jordan Subban, Adam Cracknell, Chris Mueller, and Josh Jouras, all at 650. Do you think any of those guys are going to crack our lineup this year?
Justin Hall, maybe.
That wasn't on those four guys.
Never mind. That's the only one I was thinking of. That's the only one I care about.
You don't think Jordan Subban could come up? Because he is right defense.
I don't think Jordan Subban has a chance. I mean, the guy's fast. He's I think he's a right-handed shot. But, I mean, this is his third NHL team already. I think he's destined for the AHL.
I feel like the team sees what he's capable of, and if they're able to get anything out of him, I don't think it'll be this season. They'll probably keep him down for a year, try to see what they can do with him, and if anything, if he's able to even become anything, it wouldn't be until at least halfway through the season that he even sees NHL ice time.
I think Tyler Ennis has a very realistic shot, though.
Yeah, so if you guys were subscribers of The Athletic, you would have seen an article today on... the Leafs GM, I honestly didn't read the article because you guys just told me about it now.
I read it.
I am a subscriber. I do pay my $4 a month or whatever it is.
I'm not a subscriber. I just get those three free articles and that's all I get.
Yeah.
Am I the only schmuck that actually pays for those?
No, I said I am. I just don't read it.
I'm the only cheap guy here.
So yeah, basically it was...
We're all struggling to try to bring up the article now.
Yeah. Pierre LeBrun had an exclusive... article, rival NHLs divided on what to expect from the hyped Maple Leafs. So if you didn't already know, the Leafs are favorited or were favorited to win the Stanley Cup on July 2nd after we signed John Tavares. And basically, there's a lot of hype around the Leafs, if you haven't already known. So basically, LeBrun talked to a bunch of different GMs. And
I think what we wanted to do was go through the quotes. He breaks them up into whether it's a Eastern Conference exec or a Western Conference GM, and we can kind of guess who might have said it.
Okay. Leafs are still favorited at 7-1, Tampa Bay at 8-1, Boston at 9-1, and Preds at 10-1, Golden Knights at 11-1. Good luck. Decent bet might be the Sharks at 20-1 to win the Cup, if you're interested in that kind of thing. Washington at 13-1 to repeat. But yeah, let's pull up these quotes here.
So here's one. I mean, they're good, but they've just also lost some guys. Mm-hmm. They lost JVR. They lost Leo. Guys that were good players for them. I know Tavares is good, and they've got three good centers, but as a team, they're unproven. I would consider them a very good team, but I wouldn't put them at number one to start the season by any stretch.
Okay, so who thinks Leo Komarov is good? Let's narrow down the executives here.
I think that's about it. I feel like if any GM is going to be talking about Leo in as a good player, it's Lou. That's it.
Lou thinks he's $4.3 million good, or whatever the contract. No, it was $4 million over 3 years, right?
either way, it was a terrible contract.
It was a $4 million contract, $12 million contract, let's call it. I'm sure there's other GMs who would have Lou or Leo at less than that. And we have to, we can't just say Lamoriello called him straight up, because I feel like he might have had a different language when he was talking about it. Maybe LeBron's hiding it to kind of anonymize the...
Okay, so it's at $3 million for 4 years.
Oh, okay. Still $12 million.
4 years, though, that's rough.
That's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I think apparently Leo was asking for 4 years. I'm sure he didn't even think he'd get it. And Lou just comes in and says, okay, here you go.
So I'm going to keep the flies off. Or was that Pollock? Who keeps the flies off? That quote from...
Matt Martin, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Matt Martin. Which, oh, hey, he's in New York, too.
Oh, look at that. Everybody's in New York now.
But, okay, so back to that quote, though, I mean, Michael, I think you thought that was Lamoriello, right?
Of course.
I mean, that would be pretty savage. They're saying, you know, that's an okay group of centers. Tavares is good. Doesn't say he's great. But also says that Leo Komarov is good.
I feel like that goes straight back to Lou. Lost Tavares. Now you're like, oh, he's only good. Okay. We didn't need him that much.
Both Leo Komarov and John Tavares.
We can use good. Leo Komarov more than John Tavares. Now, we don't need John Tavares. We got Komarov.
That's not Lamoriello.
Being the Toronto Maple Leafs, we have a few rivals. We have Pierre Dorion just up in Ottawa. Right? That's the GM.
He doesn't know his right foot from his left foot. Let's
and he doesn't know that Tavares is a good player.
Yeah, but you proved your point.
Bergevin up in Montreal.
Komarov said, he said Komarov's a good player.
Like, again, I want to believe it's Lou, but we can't assume that.
I'm assuming it.
Also, Lou, if you're listening, I'm on your side here.
I'm on your side. I'm happy you're in New York. Have fun.
Basically, we're the Leafs. People want to downplay the hype. For all we know, and it's probably not true, it might have been Dubas who said that, just to temper expectations.
They're not going to ask Dubas questions about his own team.
I'm pretty sure they do that every press conference.
Not an article like this where you're asking other teams about the Leafs. They're not going to go to the GM of the Leafs and be like, so do you think your team sucks? Tell me, what's your weaknesses?
Dubas wouldn't do that. If he was going to tamp down expectations, I think he'd do it and is doing it publicly. I don't think he'd do it on a...
I'm just saying it's a possibility. To be fair,
as an anonymous source to mix in with the rest of them.
To be fair, he did increase expectations when he said, we can and we will, signing the three kids.
And maybe that's why fans aren't scared about Nylander not being signed right now. Because he's reassured us.
Well, yeah. I think we all trust Dubas at this point. I mean, he's one for one right now. We know for a very big one.
Yeah. We know Nylander's going to sign. We just don't know for how long or how much. And let's just leave it at that, right? What's the next question or quote in the article?
Oh, boy.
Everyone in Toronto thinks they'll get the cup, so there's that pressure, said a Western Conference head coach.
The Toronto fans have had a pipe dream that, oh, we're going to get the cup this year since 1968.
Okay.
It's been a dream of ours. It's been 51 years now. Maybe 52 is our lucky number. Everyone wants to win the cup, and everyone thinks that the best team is going to do it. We could go back and look at the odds of who was most likely to win the cup at the beginning of last year. You know who it was?
Pittsburgh, probably.
Washington.
Edmonton.
Oh.
Edmonton was leading to win the cup last year in Vegas odds. Look how that
Bring up that point. Now Toronto's leading it. What? Toronto's not going to make the playoffs
well,
now?
Well, too many times the team that wins the offseason does not win or come even close to winning the championship, whatever sport it is. However, this one might be
a little different.
This was a UFA. This wasn't it was a UFA, but it wasn't one of those cheap UFAs, of the worst.
This is LeBron going to... Okay, maybe
it's not LeBron.
Okay,
that's like St. Crosby, so we're not there.
Okay, so who would be the equivalent? Kawhi Leonard going to Toronto?
Well, isn't Kawhi Leonard necessarily like a top three player?
He's a top five defensive player in the league and top five offensive player.
I don't watch basketball, so you're talking to the wrong guy.
It's like saying Phil Mickelson. No, that doesn't work.
I still don't watch golf. You're talking to the wrong guy. It's like saying John Tavares is going to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. Then that, the thing is, it's a Western Conference team, right? Who said that? The Western Conference GM?
Maybe it's San Jose.
Was it a Western?
Yeah. It's a Western Conference coach. Head coach.
Okay, so it's a coach. So San Jose.
Could be San Jose. Because they're in the running for, could be Dallas.
Could be PO'd about that. I don't think it would be Dallas. I feel like Dallas doesn't have enough weight.
They were in the conversation for Tavares.
Were they, did they get a meeting?
Yeah, they got an interview.
It's possible.
Them and, I think them and San Jose were the only Western Conference teams to have
an interview. And then it was Toronto,
Toronto, Islanders. Boston, Tampa, Islanders. Six teams in total.
Three in the Atlantic, wow.
Not Montreal, because
yeah.
John Tavares doesn't like Montreal.
Yeah, he didn't have the Montreal bed sheets.
Yeah. If you want a quote that would be hilarious if it was Lou Lamoriello, take this one. Well, one Eastern Conference exec, not the one I'm referring to right now. You have to look at the Babcock factor. He's such an effective coach until he isn't. I think that's an interesting line. We can get to that in a moment. But LeBron has added another conference exec. He said, not sure he is the right guy, referring to Babcock, for the talented Brat Pack in Toronto.
So one of the most...
What does that mean? One Brat of
the
most, Pack.
Well, the triplets.
Yeah, but I mean...
We've been over this. It's triplets. Quadruplets.
No, it's not. Or,
it's or quadruplets. The,
you know,
it's your four superstars.
The future Mount Rushmore in Toronto. I mean, you can call it whatever the hell you want. But this is the first time I've heard anyone refer to them as the Brat Pack.
Honestly, the only one who I could see having a negative attitude in that locker room is maybe Nylander, because he gets stubborn when he's on a slump and all that.
I think any player gets stubborn on a slump.
Okay, but Nylander shows it. Look at Matthews. He scores four goals in his opening game, and he's so
composed. Matthews had to be visited after the season.
Matthews doesn't show emotion until like the games actually matter.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what we need. We don't need Robin Leonard punching a guy out, or not punching a guy. That was a quick throw in the elbow.
I've seen Nylander go up to a random guy and just punch him in the face.
No, I'm not saying Nylander is trying to do that. I'm just saying we need our guys to stay composed, and maybe labeling them the Brat Pack was the wrong label to put on them, because they're not brats.
Well, maybe they know something that we don't. I mean,
maybe Babcock's keeping Matthews and Nylander together because Matthews can keep Nylander under control.
Maybe keep the composure on the line, yeah. I could see that.
Maybe you should put him with Tavares because Tavares is older. Could be like an older brother.
But then it's too... Oh, Nylander. Yeah, it's possible. But let's go back to that effective coach until he isn't quote.
I feel like that goes back to like he stays with his lines for way too long. Like, as much as I love Mike Babcock, and he's one of the best in the NHL, he's won one Stanley Cup, he's won multiple Olympic gold medals, he's won the World Cup.
He's well decorated.
Exactly. As much as I love him, for some reason he sticks with players that I don't think belong on the roster. He stuck with Matt Martin for way too long, he stuck with Leo Komarov for way too long. Once Martin got out, I don't know why, it was either an injury, he just finally decided to take him out of the lineup. Once he saw what Kapanen was able to do, Matt Martin didn't go back onto the ice. Once Leo Komarov got injured and Andreas Johnsson came in, look who was sitting in the press box during the playoffs.
But not Johnsson. Isn't that becoming a better coach, not a worse one? I think this quote's, you know, referring to that he's a great coach until he isn't. I think it's touching more on how he can be a pain in the ass on the players sometimes. I mean, there's been reports that Lidstrom would have played another 2 years had he had any coach other than Babcock. I think people get pretty tired of Babcock pushing. But, not to the extent of, say, a John Tortorella, but, you know, we all know how John Tortorella can really piss players off. But he seems to get a lot out of them. But he does not have... does not last long on his teams. He ends up getting kicked out because people can't stand him at a certain point. It's the same thing.
Babcock, you're talking Babcock. About.
Well, yes, I'm taking the example to an extreme by pointing out John Tortorella.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because, like, the thing is, would Lidstrom have those two cups if Babcock wasn't the coach?
Well, that's I think that goes to the quote from the Eastern Conference executive. I mean, he's a great coach until he isn't. He's a great coach until he loses his top players, which I think is one of the biggest reasons that this problem between him and Matthews got blown out of proportion, not necessarily just because it was Toronto media and Toronto fans, but because Babcock does now have a history of kind of pissing off his best players near the end of his term after a number of years. So this is way too early to really see a problem, but I think some people saw some similarities and then blew it out of proportion because of that.
I think it comes down to it. Mike Babcock's the one that's going to end up out of Toronto.
He's going to what?
End up out of Toronto. If you're going with Matthews or Babcock, Matthews is the one that's putting the pucks in the net, not Babcock. If you have to fight for one of it's going to be Matthews, hands down. And speaking of that, considering that hasn't happened yet, I don't think that anything is near what people think. Because if it was close to where Matthews is like, nah, I don't want to play anymore, this coach is pissing me off, you're not going to be seeing Mike Babcock here anymore. They're not going to choose a coach over their star player. That's their franchise player.
Now, the thing is, let's say we were going to do this and fire Babcock and whatever. Would we wait until a coach is available? Would we do it when Matthews says so? Because we don't want a Jack Eichel situation where he's running the team, so to speak.
I don't think so. If you
look Jack at Eichel got...
look at the Marlies head coach.
Sheldon Keefe.
If you get rid of Babcock, I think Keefe's the first one that's coming up.
Babcock's going to be here for way too many
five more years
for Sheldon Keefe to
stay. I'm saying if they were firing him right now, Keefe would be your guy. Like, isn't Keefe signed for another 2 years or something like that? Didn't he just re-sign a new contract? I'm pretty sure Keefe was brought with Dubas. Like, Keefe is Dubas' guy. Didn't he come from, the Sioux Greyhounds?
Keefe's a great coach. I don't know why we're talking about the possibility, even the remote hypothetical of Babcock being
it's a hot
fired
take.
Right now, though. Oh, it's your hot take.
It's Babcock a hot take.
Gonna be fired.
That's
yeah, that, that's.
I thought we were going to save that for a little bit longer.
It's a hot take.
I've heard in a while. Something really extreme has to happen. First.
But while we're on the subject of hot takes,
Garner for the not the Calder. For the Norris.
You really want Garner to get the Calder, eh? You said that in the group chat.
It.
You said
he's
it earlier today.
Get it, you know, he's going to get that Calder.
I think he's a little old.
No.
I feel like the games played are a little too high.
Garner for Norris.
And sell that to us. Sell us why you think that's going to happen.
You got John Tavares now on that team. If he can get 50 points, he can get 70 points.
Garner.
Tavares is going to get Gardner 20 more points.
Well, not just that, but you can also put Gardner was playing with Matthews and Nylander on the second power play unit. And look at that second power play unit. That second power play unit was not doing much. If you want to, as you were saying, bring down stuff for Marner and stuff, maybe you move Riley off of that unit and put Gardner there instead.
I think there are a lot of people
shutting off this podcast
right now thinking Gardner is going to win the Norris.
I know.
Okay, but even
I know if James Tanner is listening to this, he is loving me right now.
Yeah, we aren't though.
Yeah.
We're about to vote you off this podcast right now. Okay, so you think on the power play?
It's a hot take.
I understand. I'm trying to get the logic here, so it's at least somewhat reasonable.
A really hot take, or if that's like a cold hot take, a
steaming hot take.
That's like jalapeno take.
So it's like really hot.
No, that would be habanero or ghost pepper hot. So. You
or
think
your ghost pepper hot?
I'm saving it. I'm still thinking of it, but I'm saving it.
I don't know if it gets worse than or hotter than Gardner.
So you're saying?
I mean, Dermot Fornaris.
That's habanero. That's
okay. You need a timeout in the corner.
Yeah.
Turn your mic off.
Okay, just you're saying.
We'll share the same mic. If you turn off my mic, you turn.
Guys, I've been trying to say something for like 2 minutes here. You're saying that on the power play, John Tavares is going to get Jake Gardner 20 extra points over 80.
I'm not saying just John Tavares. I'm saying if you put Gardner on the first power play unit.
He was on the first power play.
He was not.
Yeah.
Gardner was with Matthews and Nylander. Riley was with Marner and JVR and Kadri. Maybe that's why Riley's points were so high. There's another hot take for you. How many more do you want?
What's the hot take? Riley's points are high. That's my hot take.
No, the hot take was that Riley's points were so high because of the power play. Because of that first power play unit.
Okay, here's my hot take.
Okay.
Second half of the season, Dermott moves up to the first line with Riley, and Hainsey moves to where he should be with the sixth defender on the third pair.
So you're saying...
And then next year he moves down to the second pair when Liljegren comes by the end of next season.
So you're saying at the end of the year it's going to be Riley Dermott, Gardner Zaitsev, Hainsey, and blank.
Hainsey and
Carrick, Hall, whoever. And then next year you're going to say it's Riley Gardner.
Riley Dermott. It's too tough because I don't think Gardner's going to be there. So there's going to be an extra top four spot available.
You're right. Plus, it's a year from now. The defense core might look completely different because Gardner's not going to be there.
Maybe. I hope so. The only thing I know for sure is that the Maple Leafs will never win a Stanley Cup with Ron Hainsey on the top pair.
Okay, didn't the Pittsburgh Penguins do it with Ron Hainsey on the top pair?
He wasn't on the top pair. He played a lot of minutes.
Their defense was pretty beat up at the end of the playoffs. He might have been on the first pair. Okay. Let's put a...
That's also playing with a strong team behind him that already knew how to win.
Let's put some cheddar on this right now. If the Leafs win with Hainsey on the first line... What can we hold you to do?
This year, if Hainsey's playing top minutes and they win the Stanley Cup?
Yes. Let's say he's top two in minutes among all situations for the Leafs this year.
My God, he could do that playing on the third pair if he just plays PK minutes.
Still leading the team in ice.
Yeah.
No, if he's... First penalty kill, it's reasonable to say that he's the top pair guy... At the end of the season, when they win the cup, then I will give away...
Please say it into the mic.
Then I will give away 2 lower bowl seats to a game the following season.
All right. You guys heard it here first. Jay is going to shell out some dough. I was going to say, like, let us wax your beard or something.
No, because that's way too personal. I'd rather just give something away.
Okay.
Can I just say, I think Yahoo's... Hot take is Martin Marincin is going to be one of the top defensemen in the NHL this season.
No.
They currently have him ranked 134th overall. Martin Marincin.
I feel that was an error on someone at Yahoo.
Either way, he's still...
And because most teams require 14, 16 rounds of players in fantasy, he just gets auto-drafted because he's the next available player. I'm sure that's the same way with NFL, how there's a kicker who's in...
Martin Marincin, EA Sports, 88 points.
We'll see. My hot take.
That would be a hot take.
No.
He's currently ranked 25th among defensemen. Just saying. Yeah, Martin Marincin.
Yeah, who's messed up?
That's a joke of the AHL teams.
We like ESPN and NFL.com for fantasy. That's it.
I use Yahoo. I probably shows shouldn't
how,
anymore.
Yeah, shows how messed up your Leafs are going to be. My hot take, the Leafs are going to lose in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Against who?
Columbus.
Columbus. Do you think that if Columbus made it to the finals, Panarin would stay?
Possibly. If Columbus wins, I think Panarin stays because they're going to want to keep the band together and they'll pay him what he wants. If that's...
I don't think Panarin... has a figure for Columbus. I think Panarin just wants out of Columbus, period.
And you guys could be right. I don't know Panarin. I haven't talked to him personally. I don't call him Antti. Or no. What's his name?
Artemi,
not Antti.
Antti.
I don't call him Art. Yo, Art. What's up?
I say that all the time. Just kidding.
Not to
Panarin. Why do you think that? Why do you think...
We were talking about it last week.
Just Bobrovsky. That's the only reason.
Bobrovsky didn't stay on his head. Tortorella's a... Stanley Cup winning coach, which means he's done it before. Yes, he had Letavlier and St. Louis on that team, but he still has this skill and knowledge to win in the finals.
I feel like Torch is like out of his coaching prime.
I feel like he's gone, like, I'm not going to lie, he may have gone mentally insane. Looking at some of, like, his interviews, he looks a little crazy.
It's effective.
I mean,
I'm just saying, it worked.
It worked, like, 14 years ago.
Wow.
He runs a hockey team the same way Trump runs the country.
Yeah. And how's that working?
For Trump, it's working well.
For Trump, not for the country. For Torch, it's working well, not for the rest of the team.
Surprisingly, and I just found out about this, Babcock is 5 years younger than Torts. I don't know. I just thought Babcock would have been a little bit older. Looks a little weathered.
What happens you think when Babcock you looks live weathered? So many years in Detroit?
Yeah.
I think Torts looks a little...
Torts has the gray hair, though, which throws you off.
There you go.
Babcock's face looks like weathered, like he's been working in...
Yeah, but I feel like that's just his face. Like, I feel like he looked like that when he was 20. Why are we beating up our head coach?
I'm just...
We're trading him. His face looks like a catcher's mitt.
I can't take him seriously anymore.
We're not trading
he's
him.
He's all because
we're
he lived in
him,
Detroit.
Okay?
Oh,
the way he
God.
Drinks water, I just can't handle it anymore.
Mike, if you're listening, we really do like you.
Yeah, we do.
Please don't go anywhere.
Just a little bit.
I don't know. I just feel like it's Columbus's year. They were an overtime goal away from going 3-0 on the eventual Stanley Cup champions, who happened to pull out...
Yeah, but
series win there.
That also has to include with Washington played Grubauer the first two games, and they lost those two games. Once
they should have played Grubauer then. They should have stuck with their number one.
Why? Yeah. So because the Capitals switched to their actual number one, resulting in Columbus losing the rest of the. Columbus lost the next four games once Holtby started playing.
Let's say Freddie goes on a knocking on wood here. Let's say Freddie goes 2-8-3 to end the season.
No, that sounds like an October to me.
We're getting to that, but 2-8-3 to end the season. Who starts game one of the playoffs? Sparks or...
Well, it depends. Grubauer ended the season for the Capitals and went on a good stretch of games. Was Sparks playing in that stretch of games?
Let's say he goes 6-1-2.
Then yeah, I'll play Sparks.
You'd play Sparks first game of the playoffs.
If he's consistent and I can't get a win with Anderson, yeah, I'm going to play Sparks.
You know what? This is actually our fault. We threatened him with timeout and we didn't follow through with it. Okay, so Freddie Anderson plays every single game unless he's on his deathbed. End of story.
He has a pulled groin. He's playing.
He could have lost
the
last 12 games in a row unless they were all by 7 goals at... Freddie Anderson starting.
It just makes sense to play your guys first, and that's why I guess Barratross is in New York now.
Maybe that's another hot take.
Maybe. But
that's another hot take. Freddie Anderson finishes the season.
Freddie Anderson
2-8-1 and Garrett Sparks starts the playoffs. Oh god. Too many hot takes. It's getting too hot in here.
Leafs make Curtis McIlhenny either. They're starting goal.
I think we have a question, don't we?
Yeah, we're getting to that. We're about 50 minutes in here. So let me just pull up the question on my phone because the internet blocks Twitter here.
I think it was what constituted a successful October.
Yes. Cam Watts asked us, what's a successful October look like for the team and Tavares? That's CamWatts25 on Twitter. Thanks for asking the only question of the day.
The first thing that came to my mind was, I think came to all of our minds, was Freddie needed to walk out of October
average
at least 500.
Yeah, like if he's anything under that, I'd say it's not a successful start for the team. But we have to remember, Freddie always bounces back in November and he'll go 10-2-1 or whatever in October or November because that's how Freddie is. Now, like I said last week, maybe use the first month as a starting off point for deciding who our backups are going to be.
Yeah, but now his October is going to be his November.
No, but I'm not saying all of it. I'm just saying give each of the guys a game. Freddie's still going to
get the majority of the starts. Yeah, but that one game isn't going to show you who your backup is.
And the one game isn't going to stop Freddie from warming up as well.
Exactly. That's why he's going to be bad in November now.
No, but I said it's the one point. No, you're saying that it's the one game isn't going to show a backup or who's worthy of a backup. And I'm saying one game isn't going to screw over Freddie in November.
No, but if you're giving one game to each, like that's...
Three games?
Hey.
That's a third.
Games can do a lot, especially like in between each of those games. Freddie needs like a good month just to get warmed up, and then he's good. Like, I'm pretty sure his last 2 years, the span of December to February, was his best during the entire season. Like, I think last year, the year before, which year did they play the Detroit Red Wings in the Winter Classic? That was two years. Yeah, I remember seeing during that game, they showed a stat on the TV, and it was in a stretch of December or like midway through November until that game, Freddie was like a top three goaltender in the league. And then after that, he was still killing it.
Okay, and he was a top six goaltender going into this year, according to NHL. Like,
he's not a top six goaltender in the month of October.
Okay, but it's... Yes, points in October matter the same as points in April. But when you hope that Freddie's going to come up and score better
score.
Than...
Score?
Not score. Be as good as you want.
Hot take. Freddie Anderson is going to get a goal this season.
I think I know what the title of this podcast is going to be.
Michael and his 1,000 hot takes.
Michael's hot cross points.
Okay, so let's get back to the second part of the question. I think the second part was what would constitute a good October for Tavares as well, right? I think just showing leadership.
Well, you also want to see
getting comfort with the guys, creating the chemistry with someone. Maybe Marner looks like the best chance. But I think what would constitute a great October is by the end of it, that it's pretty obvious there's going to be a mutual respect and agreement between Matthews and Tavares of how things are going to go forward for at least the remainder of the season.
I think another thing is that you want to see points from him. You want to know that you're paying $11 million. You want to know. If you're paying him $11 million, you want to see that he can still score. And I think that showing us that you're still like a point-per-game player... That's how you show that's a successful October to me.
So you're expecting Tavares to build a chemistry with these guys in the first month and then still manage to score a player game?
That's what the Leafs have to do in, 2016-17? That whole team had to build chemistry together.
Yeah, but they had a full year with no expectations.
Yeah, but they started off, like, look at the first game. Matthews and Nylander, they never played before, together, and Matthews had 4 goals.
And then he went on a 10-game stretch with no goals later in the season.
Tavares has been in the league a lot longer than Matthews has. He knows how to stay.
And he's played the same number of games with anyone on the Leafs as Josh Jours.
Yes, but Tavares also has that knowledge in the league. He's played in the league for 9 years. This is going to be his 10th season. He should know how to get out of a slump by now. I'm expecting at least a point per game in October.
But is second, that needed second to be a... successful
that's expectation. Second thing, do you guys think that Tavares will score in his first game?
No.
Yes.
I'm on yes as well.
I think top players like that,
empty nets don't count. So if it's like 5 seconds left,
don't tell Marlowe that.
No, Marlowe can get as many as he wants, especially if he wants a contract after next season.
Two of his goals are empty netters last year.
No, he's had more than that.
Of course I'm kidding a little bit, but he had a lot of empty netters. Yeah.
I'll put $5 on Tavares doesn't score.
Can you give me odds?
1-1.
1-1.
Those aren't odds. 2-1 are odds.
Yeah, yes. Okay, let's do it. I'll give each of you $5 if Tavares doesn't score. And if he does score, you guys each give me $5.
I don't have money.
That's 1-1. Those aren't odds. If Tavares scores, you give me 10. If he doesn't, I'll give you 5.
No.
I don't feel like that's really fair because I'm pretty sure Tavares is going to score.
Well, no,
not necessarily. That is 1-2 odds because each of us. Never mind. It's not because you're still getting $10 if we're both
wrong. I will find the odds and get back to you because I'm sure some website out there has it that Tavares will score his first goal.
Does
okay.
There was a guy who got busted in England soccer for eating a meat pie on the bench during a game, and there was odds on that, and they were like, "You saw the odds, and you ate the pie just so someone could cash it," and he was like, "You got me."
That's hilarious.
You guys haven't? Oh, this is a great story. One second. English soccer.
Yeah, I'm
so this is your plus part of the podcast.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with the NHL.
Da, 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 da.
Has everything to do with meat pies.
The English Football Association has banned a player for influencing a betting market when he ate banned a player.
Wow.
When he ate a meat pie during a team's landmark FA Cup game against Arsenal.
How much money does that guy make?
It was 8-1 odds that Sutton's overweight backup goalkeeper Wayne Shaw would eat a pie during February's globally televised game at Arsenal.
Who would bet on that if they didn't have, like, imagine betting that if you didn't have the inside knowledge that this guy would actually do it. 8-1 that someone would just eat a meat pie.
There's a lot
of
degenerate gamblers.
How popular are meat pies over there?
Well, maybe he's done it before. Maybe, like,
probably.
See, the thing is, his team was like a fourth or fifth tier team playing Arsenal, which is a top tier team. So, like, his games wouldn't get televised, so maybe people were just like, ah, he's fat. He'll eat something on the bench. Right?
Why are you in front of the fat guy, man?
I'm just saying.
New topic. Meat pies.
That's our show title, meat pies.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Hot takes and meat pies.
Okay, so...
Is meat pies like a shepherd's pie?
It's like a pie crust with, like, beef stew in it or something.
So it's like shepherd's pie?
No, shepherd's pie is ground beef, potatoes.
I think this is the part that we edit out.
Nah, we're keeping it in. Because if they're listening this long, they definitely want to see the inner side of us.
Yeah, they definitely want a meat pie recipe. That's why they signed in.
You put taste, plus podcast.
A pinch
of salt.
Thank you, Betty Crocker. All right, well, I'm out of ideas. Do you guys have anything else you want to say before
we
wrap it up?
Follow us on Twitter at Leafs Plus Podcast.
We may be switching from SoundCloud. Hopefully this will be up on YouTube. Just some back-end stuff that we have to figure out.
We had some microphone issues the first two. Hopefully that we figured it out this time. We think we did.
There was still another thing I forgot to bring up.
Is it going to be quick, or can we save it for next week?
I mean, it can be pretty quick. Bob McKenzie did an interview with Kyle Dubas.
Okay.
And Kyle Dubas said that the Leafs will not be starting the season with a captain.
That's not surprising. They would have named it by now.
Jay?
Well, I'm not surprised. I would have been extremely shocked had a Matthews or a Tavares.
Matthews is going to get it when he signs his contract. That's my take on it.
I'm so surprised.
I think Tavares will get it midway through the season if the Leafs look like they are in a very solid position to win the Cup, because they'll need someone to hoist the Cup.
I thought Ron Hainsey was going to get the C.
So you're saying John Tavares, who's only been here for one season, is going to go lift the Cup because he's a little bit older than young boy?
No, because he's
Matthews.
More ready to lead a team than Matthews is.
He led a team for 8 years and...
9 years.
9 years.
Exactly.
In New York. And look how that turned out for them.
But he
fired their GM,
but
fired their coach,
he lost their captain.
They
didn't win, but he led it well. He was a great
captain. That wasn't his fault,
though. By all accounts,
they didn't give him
a
team to play with.
Just because Garth Snow is an idiot.
He got Jordan Eberle the last season, and he still didn't produce.
Last season out of eight. Every player that he had, they kept shipping off. Kawak Pozo, the one player that he kept for a while. They're like, okay, goodbye. Go to Buffalo.
All right. Well, I'm getting tired. This room's getting a little bit warm. Yes. Again, follow us on Twitter. I'm Chris.
I am Jabran Michael.
I'm Jay.
Have yourself a wonderful week, and you'll hear us next week, maybe with some Leafs news, contracts, whatever it may be.
And hopefully on YouTube.
It will be on YouTube, okay? I'm working on it.
Are you, though?
We're holding him to it.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
Okay. He'll give us each $5 if he doesn't.
Bye!